Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, April 18th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXIX, the second paragraph, Men Have Cried Out to Me, through two paragraphs ending, Many types do not respond to ordinary psychological approach, commenting on those two paragraphs only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Juanis N., 12 Traditions, Debbie P. Reader of the text is Jordan L., Sherry M. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Mary B. The reference number for Sunday, April 17th, is 18,853, and for this morning, Monday, April 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,854. That's 18854. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Juanis N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Juanis.
Good morning, everyone. This is Juanis N. from Southern California, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me be of service. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Juanis N. I'll now ask Debbie P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Dawn. My name is Debbie P. from Indiana. I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public communication media. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for your sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XXIX, the second paragraph. Men have cried out to me, through two paragraphs ending, many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. We're going to be commenting on those two paragraphs only. I will now ask Jordan L. to read and share with us. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Dawn. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. Men have cried out to me in sincere and despairing appeal, Doctor, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. You must help me. Faced with this problem, if a doctor is honest with himself, he must sometimes feel his own inadequacy. Although he gives all that is in him, it often is not enough. One feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. Though the aggregate of recoveries resulting from psychiatric effort is considerable, we physicians must admit we have made little impression upon the problem as a whole. Many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. as always, some important paragraphs here in the doctor's opinion. it's funny, like the whole thing with Dr. Silkworth here was that he didn't really want to disclose himself when he wrote these initial letters for Alcoholics Anonymous. He didn't want to add his name to them. and that was because, like, these ideas were pretty drastic, these ideas of, like, alcoholism not being a moral issue and there being, like, a physiological aspect to all of it. And doctors not really being equipped to help these alcoholics, not being equipped to, like, solve this problem for society. that stuff was all, like, pretty hard to admit. And for, like, a doctor to admit his own inadequacy or limitation, if you will, I'm not sure that it's inadequacy so much, only because, like the doctor was never equipped to be able to solve a problem like this, right? If it requires more than human power, it's not like a human that's going to be solving this problem, you know? At least not like a single human being, a single individual. So for him to admit that is a big deal. And it takes a lot of humility. And I think that, like, as far as I can tell, that is really the basis of this psychic change. I didn't know that in the beginning, right? So it's like, it's all good. If that was a concept that I didn't really understand when I got here. All I really understood was like power and domination and taking control and winning the battle and all those like very human concepts, you know. And so when I got here and we were talking about something more than human power being needed to produce a psychic change, I really had to listen. Like, it was really, this was really something that I did not get. And I remember, like, there was a lady who was always talking about surrender and screaming, actually, like lecturing about surrender. And I didn't understand what she was talking about. I didn't get it. Surrender was not something that I was used to doing. And it's because of that. It's because it's like, it goes against my human instincts, you know? It's not something that I am familiar with. So something more than human power for that essential psychic change. Thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan L., for getting us started. I'm now going to open up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on these paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Lauren A.
Lauren A.
Larry
A. Larry G. There was another person I missed in there.
Cindy N. from Pennsylvania.
Cindy N.
Yes.
Denise D.
Denise D. Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Lauren A., Larry G., Cindy N., and Denise D. Go ahead, Lauren. Please get us started. Press star 1, Lauren A. Star 1, Lauren? Okay, perhaps she had to step away. We'll start with Larry G. Will you go ahead and get us started, please, Larry?
Good morning, fellow visionaries. My name is Larry G. I'm from NorCal. And thank you for all the good service, and really enjoyed the meeting off this morning. Oh, man, I the doctor's opinion, right, was suggested to reread the doctor's opinion before Easter and to read more on alcoholism. And I never even considered what the doctor was saying prior to vision in my food program. I knew I was bodily different and mentally different than my fellows in my alcoholism, but never considered I was different as a former compulsive eater. Now I consider myself a food drunk. The doctor says that his profession, if truthful, is filled with adequate in treating the alcoholic. And what he's talking about, what I hear he's talking about, is a family disease that he feels inadequate dealing with the family disease. And that's what I'm up against. I have food addiction, prescription addiction, alcoholism, gambling in my family. But, you know, I pursued a solution to my my food addiction through other fellowships that dealt with the family of origin. We have many of them out there, many families, many 12-step groups that deal with the family of origin. And I tried for years, just battered my head against the wall, addressing my family disease, hoping that I would stop eating, but never did. And it wasn't until I surrendered after a long time in OA, surrendered in May of 2020, that I finally embraced what the doctor's opinion is talking about. And I think surrender is misunderstood, or for me it was, and also undervalued. Because I can't manufacture surrender. I can't go to a weekend seminar and be surrendered. But yet, prior to a vision for you, 25 plus years and over years anonymous, I would use steps thinking that somewhere in this process I would surrender. Or the tools. If I just use the tools, if I use all the tools, I would surrender. And many times I would be going to my sponsor to do a step, compulsive eating and leaving and compulsively eating. But in Alcoholics Anonymous, we never take people the steps, they're still drinking. But in the fellowship I was in, where I live, we would take people the steps who were in relapse, thinking the steps would help us to get out of relapse, but never did. So surrender is the most important ingredient in a 12-step program, as far as I'm concerned, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Cindy N., will you share with us now, followed by Denise D.? And if you're just joining us, we're on page XXIX, the second paragraph, starting with Men Have Cried Out to Me, reading through two paragraphs, ending Many Types Do Not Respond to the Ordinary Psychological Approach. So go ahead, Cindy. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Lauren. I'm back, just so you know. I can wait for Cindy.
Okay thank you, Lauren.
Okay.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Thank you. Cindy N. from Pennsylvania and recovering. Thank you for making this meeting possible, first of all. I'm so grateful. So for me, the first paragraph was really relevant for where I am right now. I've been in and out of program for over 30 years, mostly the face-to-face meetings. And so, I'm just so grateful that we don't have to, start with a doctor. I know at least that there's this program that can help me. And this time in my journey, I'm not binging as much, but I was using the food. This is just where I am right now. I realize that in my life, there are people, specifically my two little grandsons, who I've been dreaming about forever after, I have one child, my wonderful son, who now has his own two sons. And this is what I've always wanted in life. So when I realized just recently, before I started back in again with Vision, that I was starting to dread having to babysit them. And it was like so baffling to me. I realized that when I was babysitting them, I couldn't wait to get to the pantry, my son's pantry, and get a handful of something just so I could get through the day. So, when I came back to program, I got a sponsor and was begging, please help me. I have everything to live for, which is so true right now. This is just where I am, not binging, but still using the food. So now, with entire abstinence, which I've never experienced before, I'm able to go through the steps, with honesty, and I can just see life is just so much different already for me. I've been abstinent since only March 11th, and I already see the changes, and I'm just so grateful for my sponsor and everyone who else in Vision who is helping me in and out of Vision, my other OA friends I still keep in contact with. But this is just so different. I realized, I was in a really desperate spot finally. So I think that's all I have for now. And with that, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Cindy N. Now, Lauren A., please share with us, followed by Denise D. Go ahead, Lauren.
Thank you. I'm sorry about that. I hung it up by mistake. So this is Lauren A. in northern Minnesota. I'm looking out at a bunch of snow. This paragraph has one of my favorite expressions or phrases, and that is more than human power. It's in the big book multiple times because they want us to remember it, that there's beyond human aid, through human aid. I forget what the other one is, but there's several of them. And so that's one of my favorite phrases. And the other one is self-knowledge availed us nothing. And that's in there many times in different wording. And when I think of human power, of course, my first human power that I go to is me. Of course, I can handle this by myself. And that's one of my big lies. And the second part of that sentence says, something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. And I think that most of us did not come to AA to get a psychic change, or nor did we come to OA. We came to AA to get sober, and we came to OA to lose weight or gain weight, as the case might be. But without the psychic change, we're not going to stay sober either way. And so I'm glad that I stuck around enough to be working on the psychic change. I'm not sure I've had an entire one, but I'm in the process. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lauren A. from Minnesota. Denise D., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. Go ahead, Denise.
Yes, this is Denise D. from Florida. And I really like this paragraph, the second paragraph, where it talks about that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. That echoes what it said on the previous page, that our ideals must be grounded in a power greater than ourselves if we are to recreate our lives. That is, points out the threefold nature of our illness, that we have the mental twist, we have the physical allergy, but we also have the spiritual malady, the spiritual deficit, lack of power, that we realized was our dilemma. And so it's so important for me to understand that it is threefold and that I have to treat it as such, and that I can't do this without a higher power. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Denise D. from Florida. Now I'm going to open up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share on these two paragraphs. On page XXIX, the second paragraph, beginning with, men have cried out to me, through two paragraphs ending, many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. So who would like to share with all, wait a second, although, I forgot to read this, although
May
we
I
value your experience, just hold on one second, please.
Yep.
We ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us? I heard a voice there.
My name is Teresa. May I share?
Sure, Teresa. And what's your first initial, Teresa?
Oh,
the first initial?
Initial T.
Teresa T. Very good.
Yep.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Central Massachusetts.
Okay, and hold on a second. I'm going to take a few more names, then we'll take you,
yep,
Teresa.
Up here.
Okay,
this
very
is,
good. Who else would like to share this morning?
Jenny from Virginia.
Was
Diane
that Jenna?
Barbara C., Pennsylvania.
Okay, hold on a second here. Okay, I have Diane C.,
Diane
I thought.
D.
Diane B., and then, very good. And then I have a Barbara. And I heard another voice in there. Who was that?
Sarah B.
Sarah B. And who?
Jill C. from Virginia.
And Jill C. Okay, I have and Deborah G. Okay, we're going to stop there. I have Teresa T., Sarah B., Diane B., Barbara, Jill C., and Deborah G. So, Teresa, go ahead and get us started, and please press star 1 to unmute.
Okay, I think can you hear me?
Yep, I sure can. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, this paragraph talks about the doctor's surrender. And we surrender too. We surrender to let go and let God take over. If a doctor who's has all this medical information, and you we can't rely on the doctor, we can't rely on ourselves, or we can't rely on any pill. The only thing that we need to rely on is the higher power, and that's the only way we're going to have any change. No pill is, you can't take a pill. Whoop, I can't take a pill and say, whoop, I'm going to be okay now. I have to constantly be in touch with my higher power every day. That's the only way. I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Teresa T. from Massachusetts. And now we'll have Sarah B. share with us, followed by Diane B. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi there. This is Sarah B. from Michigan. I just want to claim my seat today. I had a humbling experience this weekend, and that really made me get this: more than human power is needed to produce an essential psychic change. I've been going on FEM, newly recovered, just like 4.5 months abstinent, and worked through the steps, and I've had a lot of food neutrality and lost weight and all that good stuff. And I always have to be on guard for being arrogant, because that comes to me really fast and really easily. But I've been doing good. But this weekend I got hijacked, and I had a very humbling experience in a restaurant. I haven't been to restaurants very much at all. And when I have, I've been fine, but my partner wanted to go, and there was something on the menu that I suddenly got hijacked by and wanted. And it wasn't sugar, and I was rationalizing it, and it came in like the old feeling of just getting high, just thinking about it. And, I mean, I thought I was going to die if I didn't have this thing. And I just was like, forget away and all that kind of stuff. And it was just, it was like an exacerbation, like a brainstorm, electrical storm in my head. And, you know, I was able to go into the bathroom and kind of pray at my seat. And I didn't order the thing, and I ordered an abstinent meal, and it was all fine. But I'm telling you, no human power could have stopped that. I really got, like, I wasn't going to stop it. I was not going to stop it. But I see a connection now after talking about it last night. There's a connection between how I've developed in my step work this pausing and asking for help, this discipline throughout my day of recognizing when my will is getting in the way and asking for help from God and feeling this relationship. And I never understood how this worked before, but here it was in a very practical setting where, like, I took a pause, I prayed to God, I asked for help. And if when I was in the food, that wouldn't have mattered. I mean, yeah, I would have been in it anyway, but somehow it got lifted. And I can only imagine that that's because of the practice of doing it when it's not in that kind of crisis situation. So I don't know, maybe that just shows me that, yeah, there is some kind of higher power at work here. And I am grateful for the discipline and the steps and the practice every day that made that sort of crisis situation, like, that something intervened. And that is mysterious and magical. So thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be part of this and to get to experience that. And with that, I pass.
Very good. Thank you, Sarah B. from Michigan. And now we'll have Diane B. share with us. And please let us know where you're calling from. Go ahead, Diane. Press star one. Okay, perhaps she had to step away. Let's go with Barbara. If you would please share with us and give me your first initial of your last name.
Barbara C. from Recovered OA from Pennsylvania.
Very good. Thank you. Go ahead and share, please.
Okay, I usually listen to Vision every morning. This morning, I just so happened I hadn't read the material. But I called you, comment on the last paragraph, the last sentence. It says, many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. When I first heard that, this is what I heard. Many do not respond to ordinary, do not respond to the big book. That's what went on in my head. And I'm thinking, hey, that can't be what they said. So I went and looked at the book. But I'm saying that to say this. That's the way it was and is sometime with me with food. You know, it's like I think one thing and it seems like it's true, but it's really not true. I don't know if you can understand that. But that's the way I am, the same way I am with this sentence. People said what it said and I heard what I heard. So that's all. But anyway, thanks for your service and I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara C. from Pennsylvania. And now, Jill C., if you would go ahead and share with us.
This is Jill. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead, Jill. Let us know where you're calling from.
This is Jill C. from Virginia. I'm so grateful to be on the scene this morning and reading the big book. It's so clear. Now, you know, when I first came to program, it was in 2004, and I was, you know, agnostic, and no human power, I just couldn't imagine, like, no philosophy of life, no self-knowledge, our human resources as marshaled by the will failed utterly, and I couldn't imagine what in the world would there be besides those things. And I'm so very grateful. I struggled for the first 4 years in programs. I was slipping and sliding. But I was making my best attempt to be open-minded, and I kept coming back. And someone suggested that I pray for the willingness to receive the gift of abstinence. And I couldn't imagine, you know what that was. I'd read the doctor's opinion. I read No Human Power. I still kind of felt like somehow I was going to work hard enough, figure something out, find the perfect way to do a fourth step where I was actually going to get abstinent. It didn't occur to me. And even though I'd read the 10-step promises, it happens automatically. We're neutral, a whole new miracle. I didn't have anything in my brain to attach that to. I just hadn't had the psychic change. My sensitivity or awareness of the supernatural was not developed yet. But I was willing to act as if that was kind of a step two thing. And after praying for months, March 15th, 2008, I've been abstinent back-to-back, experiencing the 10-step promises for over 14 years. I've never looked at another person's plate, and I thought, I want that. I woke up that morning planning a binge. It was a weird thing. I went to a meeting. But what happened to me was such a dramatic experience of power flowing into me that I realized my sensitivity to the supernatural was awakened, and it was a gift. I was given this miracle, and I thought, who is this God who healed me? I want to know. And so where am I today? Food has not been an issue for 14 years. I've, you know, been weighing and measuring, abstaining happily for years, thankfully. But it's the spiritual condition, and it's the causes and conditions, and it's also realizing that no human power is going to help any of my circumstances or character defects. There's so much I cannot control. And so the word surrender that I heard many times, I have to surrender and know that I'm not in control of other people, of circumstances, of world events, my own desires. I'm not in control of those things. And it's a surrender to the care of God, who I believe works in my desires. And he changes my want to align my will with his want to. And he does that when I go and keep going and keep acting in line with the little that I know sometimes. So I'm really grateful for the focus on the spiritual at this meeting, which when you're reading the big book, you cannot evade. You're going to get to that spiritual solution because there is no other solution. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jill C. from Virginia. And now Deborah G., will you share with us?
And then I'll be opening up the lines again. We are on page XXIX, the second paragraph. Men have cried out to me, reading through two paragraphs, ending many types of do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. So Deborah G., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you so much, Dawn. Oh, thank you so much for all those leads that you've been doing. It's just wonderful to have you as a lead person and hearing your voice. And thank you all for making this meeting possible and all the shares so far. And welcome to all the newcomers who are suffering out there. You know, I can relate so much to when I was continually relapsing and relapsing and relapsing. And it wasn't until I got awakened, because I was unconscious, and then also awakened and unconscious knowing that I was eating an alcoholic food and wouldn't give it up. And I finally gave it up. I just couldn't do it anymore. It was like I found myself with this product in one hand and then a fork in the other. I wasn't even eating my food. I was eating this product, sprinkling it on. It was awful. And wasn't until I saw that. I got awakened to it. And I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live like this. And then I got myself an OA Vision sponsor who had shared a special edition, who had touched my heart. And I went to her and I told her I'd put down that food and please take me through the steps. And because I have no power. And she took me fast, quickly, through those beautiful 12 steps. And I was reminded in that process that she nor a doctor, no one could keep me abstinent but that power. And that's what I was doing. I was going through those beautiful 12 steps. Because I had no power to connect with power, to connect. My battery was weak. I needed to get charged up and then get a partnership with that power and go through those beautiful 12 steps and then live in steps 10, 11, 12, which I do today. And always coming to the meetings to being reminded that I can't do this, but that power can. And asking that power in the morning to help me and thanking that power at night and carrying this message, helping those that are suffering out there so that they can have that same experience and have that freedom. I'm so grateful for this program and so grateful for my life today and my abstinence. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. And I'll now be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on these two paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask you limit your sharing every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Mo H.
M.
Mo H. Okay, let's start with those two. Go ahead, Wendy M., followed by Mo H. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service. And Wendy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. Oh, gosh. I'm loving these shares, and they're getting me to God really quickly. But I first want to say that, you know, in terms of, like, doctors or therapy, my position is thank God it didn't work. Thank God my doctor, when I was probably 7 years old, and he said, just lay off the fried food. I'll never forget that moment. I had felt in tremendous shame. And then I went to a rehab center much later in my life, and I went for two addictions, and they put me in the food group, and they said, what was it exactly? We're going to do intuitive eating. And I must have put on 15 pounds. my addiction, my liar was like, yes, you know, intuitive eating, that sounds fabulous, you know. And we weren't even talking about the big book or doctor's opinion or anything, you know. And so thank God that didn't work, right? And then I remember I was also there for sex and love addiction, and the therapist has never even heard of it. you know, and thank God. Like, thank God those things did not work, right? Like, thank God, because the only thing that works is, as everybody's saying on the line today, connection with a higher power, you know, and God either is or God isn't, right? What is my choice to be this morning? You know, and then the question is, how do I get to God? Like, it's something to say, you know, God is or God isn't, but then how do we get there, you know? And for me, God is a verb. God is a verb. God is an action. And when I take that action, when I pick up that phone and see how somebody else is doing, or whatever it is, you know, get on my knees or do service, you know, or speak at a meeting, whatever it is, that's going to get me to God, right? Because God is a verb. It's not a thought. It's not a belief. I often say, I don't even know if I believe in God, but I experience God constantly, all through the day. And, you know, I often will make a 10-step call. Or on a better day, I'll call and see how somebody else is doing, because my experience as a compulsive overeater is gold. It's gold. It's so valuable. And when I'm sharing my experience, strength, and hope in hopes of helping somebody else, I get out of myself. Thank you, God. God, dear God, please get me out of Wendy and into God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Mo H., please share with us.
Yes, good morning. Dawn, thank you for calling on me, and grateful to be here today. It's been a long time since I've been live on this line, and this reading really hit me. It says, Doctor, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. You must help me. And I translate that to God. I cannot go on like this. And the going on like this is isolating. So I'm using this paragraph to help me with my grief. I have been pretty dark in grief for about a year, and I have been isolating, and that was my coping mechanism, was to isolate. Thank God I have remained abstinent. It'll almost be a year. I had a little slip last year after my husband passed. And I can't go on like this, so I need to come back and be open and present with all of you. My sponsor has been helping me work the steps, not only with my food, but with grief. It can be pretty overwhelming at times and pretty lonely, and reaching out has been very, very, very difficult to you, but I sure do appreciate those who have stayed in contact with me over the months. So I just knew that I needed to share. Somebody said, you'll know when it's time to share, and hopefully, you know, being honest with myself, that a psychic change can occur even in this realm of dealing with life. I know I must go on, and I know there'll be a day when I will be happy again. And I'm grateful to just be on this line and hearing all of you share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Mo H., for sharing with us. We value your presence. Mo H. from California. And now I'm going to open up the lines to take a couple more names. We value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So can I have one or two more names?
Victoria E.
Victoria E. and Marsha. Victoria and Marsha. And if you'd both take just a couple minute share, that would be great. So go ahead, Victoria.
Good morning. Thank you so much. My name is Victoria. I'm a compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Yeah, this is great to be on the line this morning. I've been listening since you started the big book again from the beginning, and it's been great. I know for me, my dependence on God has definitely changed over time, and understanding who my higher power was and who and how that works in, you know, my behaviors today. To me, a psychic change is a personality change. my spiritual awakening that I'm having as I'm going through these steps again, and as I'm realizing I'm powerless over my thinking. I'm powerless over where my thoughts might take me, my old thinking, my old ideas, my old ways of handling situations that no longer work for me. And I'm just so grateful to the big book and to the fellowship and understanding just how miraculous the doctor's opinion and what we've been reading so far, just how the doctors, not even alcoholic, Dr. Silkworth was not an alcoholic, worked with many, understood that it was beyond you, you know, that no human aid could help me. And I've tried so many different approaches over the years. And I'm just so grateful to have found, you know, my recovery through the big book and through the fellowship and really learning how to change my thinking. To, you know, God, I'm powerless. Take charge of my mind and direct me where you would have me be. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share. Take care. I'll mute and pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Victoria H. Now, Marcia, please share with us and let us know your initial and where you're calling from.
Yeah, good morning. This is Marcia. I'm normally from Ohio, but I am in Maryland. We're traveling. So it's been nice to be on the line this morning as I drive and to hear everyone's reflections. Yeah, entire psychic change. I've been caught in the addictive cycle and a relapse, and it's really a chronic, progressive, and fatal illness for sure, because it just, it gets worse. It absolutely does. But for today, I am committed to being here and really trying to be open-minded, like somebody said, as a newcomer, about what it means to really surrender. So thank you, everyone, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope today. And I'm just going to continue on the journey. So thanks. I pass.
Thank you so much, Marcia from Ohio. We're now going to be closing with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sherry M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yes, thank you so much, Sherry M., gratefully recovered in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.